This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We talked about how to thrive in 2025. We talked about that you got to have passion, that I've never known much to be accomplished with somebody who didn't have some passion. Passion, just got to have some passion about what you're doing. And then we talked about a positive attitude. We talked about how your attitude really does matter. We talked about last week the power of the Holy Spirit in order to thrive. I want to give you message four. How many are there going to be? I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue, but I want to give you message number four. It's found in Matthew 5, verse 41. This is what it says. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Or 2 miles. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for your blessings upon us. I pray today that you'll speak to us and through us. And God, you're a good, good God, and you're worthy to be praised, and we want to praise you for your goodness and blessings on us. And we pray this prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the principle of the extra mile produces results. The extra mile. Pastor, where did that come from? Well, it came from Jesus. Jesus said, whoever forces you to go a mile, you go with him too. You say, I don't understand. You will when you get the context behind it. The Jewish people were under Roman authority. They were under the dictatorship of Rome. So they had to obey the Roman law. And this is what the Roman law said. The Roman law said, if you were a Jew, no matter what you were doing, if you were a Jew and a Roman came through, and a Roman said, I want you to carry my backpack. I want you to carry my shield. I want you to carry my sword for 1 mile. You had to stop what you were doing. You had to just stop, and you had to obey that Roman. The Romans got this concept from the Persians, but you had to obey that Roman. It was literally 5,280 feet. You had to obey. Literally, Jewish fathers would teach Jewish boys how many steps was a mile, because they knew, they detested the fact that the Romans would do this, but they knew after 5,280 feet, you could drop it on the spot and say, I'm not carrying it any further. That's all the Roman law says. But Jesus said this. He said, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, don't you just go a mile. You go an extra mile. You go with him 2 miles. It's the extra mile principle. See, Jesus said this. He said the first mile is the duty-filling mile. The first mile is the duty-filling mile. But he said the second mile is the difference-making mile. The second mile is the difference-making mile. How our lives would be different, folks, if we said, we're going to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, and we are going to go the extra mile, the difference-making mile. Now, let me tell you three areas that we need to go the difference-making mile. First of all, we need to go the difference-making mile in our work. In our work. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, if you find something for your hands to do, you do it with all of your might. Colossians 3 and 23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We need to go the extra mile concerning our work. You know, the word vocation comes from a Latin word, vocare. What does vocare mean, preacher? It means a calling. You say, well, Brother Benny, you're in the pulpit today. You're called because you're a preacher. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a nurse, you're called. If you're a teacher, you're called. If you're a businessman, you're called. If you're in law enforcement, you're called. If you're a machine operator, you're called. We missed it, folks. Every one of us are called. God's got a special calling on every one of our lives. You were made on purpose for a purpose. And we need to go the extra mile. What a difference it would make. Folks, if we said, no, I'm going to show up early. I'm going to stay late. I'm going to do more than is required of me. There's something beyond reluctant compliance. I'm going to go the extra mile. In Genesis chapter 24, there was a man by the name of Abraham, and Abraham was getting older, and he needed to find a wife for his son Isaac. Back in that day, the father chose who the child was going to marry. I wish we could get back to some of those biblical principles. But in that day, the father chose. And he said, here's what I know. We're here in Canaan, and they're worshiping pagan gods here. And I don't want my boy getting mixed up with a girl who's worshiping pagan gods. I want my boy to get with a girl who's worshiping Yahweh, the true God of Israel. So he said to his oldest servant, Eleazar, he said, Eleazar, you take those 10 camels. You take those 10 camels. You load those 10 camels down. And I want you to travel 1,200 miles. I want you to go from Canaan to Mesopotamia. And he said, I want you to find a wife for my boy Isaac. Well, folks, he did just that. But that's a pretty long journey. So he got thirsty. And he went to a place that I've only been to one time. He went to Jacob's Well. He went to Jacob's Well. It's under Palestinian control right now. And he gets there, and there's a girl that comes down to the well by the name of Rebecca. And Rebecca looks at Eleazar, and she says these words. She said, can I get you a drink? He said, most certainly. And I drew water out of that well. Folks, it's deep. And she drew water out of that well. And she handed Eleazar a drink. He drank it. But then she said these words. She said, can I give your camels something to drink also? Now, you may not understand. A camel in one sitting will drink 32 gallons of water. You do the math. That's over 300 gallons of water that these camels will drink. I'm not real smart, folks, but I remember Jesus was right. That well was deep, and she had to do a lot of drawing water. 300 gallons? But Eleazar said, listen, that's the one for the wife of Isaac. She not only gave him a drink, she watered the camels also. What would God do in your life if in your work you would water the camels also? You know what will cause you to stand out? You know what will cause you to be promoted? You know what will cause you to be above others? You know what will cause you to be picked when others are not picked? When you're willing to go the extra mile. I grew up in a dysfunctional home, very dysfunctional. And I was a sports fan. I've always been a sports fan. And my favorite player was a quarterback by the name of Roger Staubach. And I would pray this prayer. I wasn't a Christian, but I would pray. And you say, well, God didn't hear it. Get real. God hears everything. He's God. Do you think God's not hearing what's going on in this room? And I said, God, if there is God, I didn't know God. But I said, God, if my mama could just marry Roger Staubach. Of course, she never did. But Roger Staubach said these words. He said, there are no traffic jams along the extra mile. What if we decided right now that I'm going to be an extra mile person when it comes to my work? I'm going to go the extra mile. I'll tell you what, you'll get picked. You'll get promoted. You'll get opportunities that you never... Hey, preachers, listen. Pastor, I want to do something different. Look here. Go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. God's given us two ends. They have a common link. With one end you set, with the other end you think. Success in life depends upon which end you choose. Heads you win, tails you lose. Going the extra mile in our work. What if we did this, folks? What if we went the extra mile in our walk with God? What if we said, no, this year, I'm going to go the extra mile in my walk with God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really know how to go the extra mile in my walk with God. Well, let me give you a thought. What if you said, I'm going to go to church more? I'm going to go to church more. I'm only showing up one Sunday a month. I'm going to start going more. I'm going to start planning what I do around church. See, folks, somebody said we need less church. Well, read your Bible, Hebrews 10 and 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, if we're getting close to the end, God said we don't need less church. Perhaps we need more church. Somebody else say to me, Pastor, this person has moved their membership. You say, does it alarm you? No. Here's how I say. Why does it matter if you move your membership? Because what does it matter where you stay home from? I'm just saying, why don't we say, no, I'm going to start planning things around being in God. I mean, I'm going to plan things around being in church. You say, Pastor, are you anti-honey? No. No, if you want to kill Bambi, go at it. But why don't you come to the 8 o'clock service and go hunt Bambi after that? Why don't you tee off on the golf course? You could come to the 9:30 service and still hit that little white ball at 12 o'clock. Why can't church be a priority? And why don't we say this year, I'm going to go the extra mile. Church is going to become a priority in my life. I'm not going to be a holy roller. You say, what's a holy roller? Well, it's a person who wakes up on Sunday morning, looks at the clock, and rolls back over. No. But church is going to be a priority. Hey, I'm going to pray and fast more. I'm going to pray and fast more. I really am. I pray once a day. I'm going to start praying three times a day. You may not can go on a 40-day fast, but you could miss a meal. You say, well, Brother Benny, is that biblical? Well, look what the Bible says. 35 times fasting is mentioned in the Bible. Matthew 17 and 21 says, this just happens by prayer and fasting. Look here, folks. I'm going to give more. I'm going to give more this year. If I didn't do this, I would tell you every year of my life, I always increase my giving. Every year of my life, I'm going to give more. Now, look. Sometimes I'm preaching something and I don't know if it's relevant. But I know this is relevant. Because do you realize 50% of the people who are in church never give one penny to the church? They never give us a penny. So for every two that's in, one never gives one dime. Well, we might want to start out by giving something. It's quiet in this Episcopalian church. But I'm going to give more. I'm going to start giving more. I want to, Pastor's right, I want to start giving more this year. It's biblical. When I'm talking about giving more, folks, I'm not just talking about our church. Why don't you start buying lunch instead of wanting somebody to buy your lunch? Instead of looking to get a gift, why don't you look for, hey, why don't I give them a gift? Why don't I give people an unexpected gift? Why don't I become see, folks, you're not generous because you're rich. You're generous because you're generous. Amen? I'm going to be a giving person. Look here. If you went to Israel with me, I want you to go. I want you to go. There's two bodies of water there. I could take you to the Jordan River. It's so beautiful. Last time I went, I baptized 220 people in the Jordan River. 220 people. I mean, literally, the whole time I was baptizing, the fish was nibbling on my legs. I mean, 220 people. Bam, bam, 220 people. It's a beautiful body of water. Beautiful body of water. But also, there's two bodies of water. I'd also take you to the Dead Sea. It stinks. Nothing will live in the Dead Sea. It's sulfur. It stinks. You go down there and you float in the Dead Sea. It's terrible. You don't want to. There's nothing there. You say, well, preacher, there's two bodies of water. What's the difference? One of them's got a release. And one of them doesn't have a release. Dead Sea just stops. There's no release. That's why it's dead. You say, boy, I want God to get something to me. Let me tell you, let me help you out with something. It's not that I didn't mean to camp here this long. The reason why God can't get it, some of you, the reason why God can't get it to you is because he can't get it through you. You've got sticky fingers. But he'll get it to you if he can get it through you. That'd be a good place to say amen. He'll get it to you if he can get it through you. But what if we said, no, this year I'm going to give. Or what about this? This year I'm going to serve more. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Do you realize, folks, the word leader is in the Bible less than 10 times. But the word serve is in the Bible over 1,000 times. Everybody's got time to serve. Nobody is beyond needing to serve. If serving is beneath you, leading's above you. We ought to all be serving. We ought to look around and say, I thanked the guys earlier. I mean, it's cold today. I thanked them for being out there bringing people in on golf carts. Thank you for getting out there on those golf carts and bringing people. Thank you. Thank you, Larry Stewart, for coming here every Saturday and blowing these walkways off and making sure that people can get in the church safe. Thank you for serving in the nursery. Thank you for working in children's church. Thank you for being an usher. Thank you for being a greeter. And listen, God's got something for all of us. You say, I know you're busy, but God's got something for you to do. I used to call Truett Cathy. I would say, Mr. Truett, I want you to come and speak at our church. And Mr. Truett would say to me, well, now, Benny, you know I'll come. But he said, I can't come on Sunday morning because I teach the 5th grade boys Sunday school. And I'm not going to miss teaching the 5th grade boys Sunday. Now, I know some of you businessmen are in far bigger business. I know what you're doing is far greater than what Chick-fil-A is doing and Mr. Truett Cathy and their organization. I respect that you don't have time. I understand why he would have time and why you wouldn't. No, we ought to make a commitment. I'm going to go the extra mile this year, and I'm going to get signed up, and I'm going to do some serving in my church. I've sat too long. And Pastor's right. I need to go the extra mile. Now, look here. We need to go the extra mile in our work. We need to go the extra mile in our walk with God. And we need to go the extra mile in the way we interact with others. Did you know the word Christian is only three times in the Bible? You say, wow. And no one in the Bible ever called themselves a Christian. Every time that word was used, somebody saw them and called them a Christian. First at Antioch. They were called Christians. Look. Christian is not so much, folks, how high we jump at church. It's how straight we walk when we're not at church. Yeah, it's not how. I know a lot of people that jump high at church that don't walk straight when they come down. You say, well, Brother Benny, if you could see my truck. Whew, I've got Jesus fish all over my truck. Well, that won't do you any good if you're and giving them the number one sign. Folks, I'm not opposed to the Jesus fish, but let me tell you something. Your greatest testimony is your everyday life. It's how you live. It's how you walk. It's how you talk. It's people seeing Jesus in you. Now look, what about the way we interact with our families? Boy, if you can be a Christian at home, you can be a Christian anywhere. When I'm going to hire a man, I'll interview him, and I'll say, is there any way that I could take you and your wife out to eat? I'd sure like to take y'all out to eat. My check, my bill. You say, Brother Benny, sir, you're wanting to buy his meal? No, I want to watch him around his wife. Of course, I can learn a lot about a man by the way he treats his wife. I can learn a lot about a woman by the way she treats her husband. What if we went the extra mile when it came to our families? What if we went the extra mile when it came to our families? Hey, I got one, folks. What if we went the extra mile when it came to our enemies? Preacher, where do you get that? Well, look what the Bible says. You've heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. What? Bless them that curse you. What? Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What's he saying? He's saying you go the extra mile concerning your enemies. That's hard, folks. A lady put in a newspaper, Jaguar for sale, $200. Can you imagine a new Jaguar? You're reading the newspaper, it's $200? And a man goes over there. She said, you're the first one that showed up. He said, it's $200. She said, no, it's $99.50. He said, wow, I can't get over this. Why would you do this? She said, well, my husband has left me with my best friend. They've gone to Hawaii. And he told me to sell it and send him the money. See, folks, there's the hellish level. That's when we return evil for good. The hellish level is when somebody's been good to you, but you return evil to them. There's the human level. That's when I'm good to you and you're good to me, and I return good to you and you return good to me, and I give evil to you and you give evil back to me. That's the human level. That makes sense. But then there's the heavenly level. That's when somebody gives you evil, but you give them good back. Whew. Sam, that's going the extra mile. Abraham Lincoln had a man who was in his cabinet, Stanton, who was constantly saying cruel things against Abraham Lincoln. And they ask Abraham Lincoln, "What do you think of General Stanton?" He said, "He's a fine man." They said, "President Lincoln, he says horrible things about you. He said this about you. He said this about you. He said that about you. But you said he's a fine man." Abraham Lincoln said, "You didn't ask me what he thought of me. You asked me what I thought of him." Look what God's word says. "But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn the other." Ed Brower, would you come? Ed heads up our security here. You said, "Brother Benny, I'm wanting to get to you." He'll tackle you. Ed, look here. I'm not going to slap you hard. But I have thought there's other people I should have used in this illustration. Ed, wait. Most people are right-handed. The right cheek. So if I slap him on the right cheek, it's a backhand slap. I'm slapping him on the right cheek. Just a backhand slap. Just humiliating, just degrading. So when people give us a backhand slap, he said, you turn the other cheek. You go the extra mile. I'm done. But we go the extra mile with our family. We go the extra mile with our enemies, but we go the extra mile with people who have failed. See, folks, we'll judge somebody for 30 years over what they did in 30 minutes. We're just all a bunch of failures. But Jesus said, you go the extra mile when people have failed. We don't want to shoot our wounded. We don't want to shoot our wounded. We don't want to do that. Daryl, come. Come. Come, Daryl. Look, I used you instead of Ed. Ed's a big boy. Look, I'm going to push you down. Go down. I took old Darryl down. I'm much of a man. I took him down. Only problem is, I went down with him. And everybody I take down, I go down with them. But now's down. Why don't I do this? Why don't I help him up? And did you notice something? When I helped Darryl up, I rose too. And when you help people up, you rise too. One story and I'm done. Darryl, go sit down, son. I love you, Darryl. In Luke chapter 10, give me 2 minutes and we're done. But you got to get this story. A man was in Jerusalem. Jerusalem means city of worship. Jericho is where Rahab the harlot lived. So a man's in Jerusalem. He goes to Jericho. This is 17 miles. Excavationally, a 3,000-foot drop. So a man's up here in the holy city. He's living for God. But he ends up in Jericho. All I want to say, folks, somebody said, oh, I'll never do this. Be careful about saying I'll never do. I'll never go through that. Be careful what you say. Me and my husband, no, be careful. My child will never, be careful. So a guy falls down in Jericho. Let's read on. And he gets down there and he's wounded. And he's half dead. And about that time, the priest comes by. Well, the guy's half dead. And the priest walked right on by. But wait, there's another religious leader. He comes along. He looked on him. You ever been on 75, the rubbernecks? Slowing everything down. Now, he didn't do nothing about it. He just wanted to look. He just nosy. I want to tell you something. Because somebody wants to know doesn't mean they care. They may just be nosy. Nosy. Got to find out. Folks, you got enough business of your own to handle. But wait, there's this Samaritan. Now, you got to understand, who were the Samaritans? It was Assyrians that had relationships with Jews. They were considered half-breeds. They were despised by the Jews. What did he do? He had compassion on him, the Bible says. And he bound up his wounds. Folks, there's all kinds of wounded people out there. He bound up his wounds and he pulled in oil and wine and put him on his beast and took him to the inn. And he took out 2 pence. That's 2 days' work. And he gave it and said, take care of this man. Take care of this man. And Jesus said, which one is the real neighbor? All I'm trying to say, folks, you can tell a lot about a person by how they treat people who have failed. And friend, if you failed, I want to leave you with something. Failure is an event. It's not a person. Failure is an event. It's not a person. And folks, though you cannot go back and make a brand new start, you can begin right now and make a brand new end. Amen? You can begin right now and make a brand new end. And I'm done. But let's be an extra mile person. Jesus was. He created us. We went our own way. And he would have been justified to say, I'm done with them. But yet, he went to the cross and died for our sins.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.